One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hey everybody, my name is Jenny, and I have a real problem. The thing is, my cup size is an E, and I'm only 15. When I was a little girl, I would look at my mom who had a gorgeous chest and want the same. I secretly took my mom's bras, stuffed them with socks, and paraded around the apartment. All my family laughed. I guess all girls do that. Mom said she was like that too. She just explained I would get what I wanted, but later. From the little anatomy I knew, my desired breasts were supposed to start coming in at 12 or 13, but they would be small, like pimples. So I kept adding weird things to my looks and using my mom's makeup to make me look older. I thought if I looked like an adult, I would somehow speed up their growth. Of course, in reality, I looked like a monkey with war paint. My mom would catch me and wash it off so I wouldn't embarrass her. And so here I am at 12, with balloons and gifts and thinking that I'm already a grown-up. My birthday is in the summer, so I celebrated it at the seaside with my family and my newfound friends. My long-awaited chest hadn't appeared, but by this time, I had already put up with the fact I was still growing. I had bad acne, so I had more serious problems to deal with. When school started, I was stunned. Half of my girl classmates were already showing each other their little bras. They already had something that looked like breasts. There were only a few who still looked like preschoolers, and me. I was almost in tears because other girls measured their chests. They gradually excluded me from their games and conversations. I was slowly moving to the outsiders and losers. I complained to my mom, cried at night, and ate a lot of cabbage for my breasts to grow. I even made a New Year's wish. One day, I saw a woman who had the same little breasts as mine at her age. I froze in horror. I started to practice sports, hoping to pump them up. I pumped up my legs, my butt, and made my tummy flat. I even earned a couple of trophies in gymnastics, but I still couldn't get what I wanted. When I was 14, I lost hope. When I say it now, it seems ridiculous. But at the time, it was a real tragedy for me. I refused to celebrate my 14th birthday. But one night later, I woke up, feeling a terrible pain in my chest. I ran to my mom. She laughed and said I was getting what I wanted for so long. So by the fall, I had breasts. No, not like this. Breasts. A good B cup. I proudly carried my wealth at school and quickly became a girls' leader again. Not to mention, guys started staring at me during PE classes. I was completely satisfied with my life and my looks. But maybe it was the cabbage. Maybe I was too active. But obviously, someone up there was making fun of me. My breasts didn't stop growing after a B cup. By my 15th birthday, I was a size D. I had terrible pains in my back. I cried all night long, praying my breasts would stop growing. Now I had the opposite desire, to reduce the wealth given by nature, at least a little. I had to quit gymnastics. Gymnasts should be nimble and thin. They should be able to hang on the bar without the risk of breaking their neck because of their huge breasts. It really hurt, because I was about to pass the trials for the Olympic team. I had very good results. I was sincerely proud of them. I switched to a more relaxed sport, like yoga, but I wasn't searching for enlightenment. I simply practiced it for the back support. I often felt a terrible pain in my spine. I could handle it with shaping underwear, regular exercises, and massage. The doctor said my spine was overloaded. They didn't offer any particular solution. In addition, but it wasn't that important, I could no longer wear any fancy clothes. Not because they suddenly disappeared from stores, but because of my size. I just couldn't fit into anything fancy and trendy. I had to forget about blouses and dresses. I could only choose something knitted and stretched. I had to order half of my clothes from tailors. At least my parents had enough money. The second half of my wardrobe looked more like a grandma's. Now when I remember my beautiful underwear, I tear up. Laces, buttons, and stylish outfits. No, sir. They just don't fit. Well, yeah, it's possible to find something, but only in size F. My E will just drown in it. The only things I could get were shaping underwear or grandma bras. I just cried when I put them on. There were also a lot of dirty hints from perverts. I stopped paying attention to them. There were too many. Plus, envy. I tried to explain to other girls that it's uncomfortable and painful to live like this. You can only sleep on your side, or in the Sphinx pose, or on your elbows. But they don't believe me, and dream of having the same. Fools. It only helps when I show them my wardrobe, and not even that much. Anyway, girls, you don't need to dream of big breasts and growing up too fast. From my experience, it's better to have a beautiful B cup than pains in your back and a lot of problems. And stop dreaming of larger sizes. Love yourself the way you are.
I later found out the full picture of what really happened. It turned out that Mike and Dean had a bet. Mike claimed that all the rumors about me were just fabrications, that I didn't really have any supernatural powers.
That's nonsense, Mike said. She probably made it up herself, so no one would pick on her. Okay, let's assume that, Dean answered. Then let's do this. You sneak up on her and touch her arm.
Mike tensed up a little. Though he was skeptical, he didn't want to test the rumors on himself. However, the conversation was taking place in the presence of other boys, so the challenge had to be accepted.
Okay, I'll do it,
Mike muttered uncertainly. Dean smiled wryly. And finally, I show up in this story. It happened at recess. I was getting the books I needed out of my locker when I felt someone touch my arm, just below my shoulder. I flinched in surprise.
See? Nothing happened,
Mike said to the crowd of onlookers. He took a few steps away from me before he slipped and landed on the floor. Hi, my name is Kim, and I'm used to these things. Another non-believer became a victim of his own arrogance, and then paid the ultimate price. Tragedy and comedy.
It's all your fault! It's all you!
Shouted Mike to Dean, lying on a medical stretcher with a brace around his neck. Dean shrugged guiltily, as if to say, I had nothing to do with it. Here's what happened. About 10 minutes before it happened, the cleaning lady was mopping the floors, and she put up a sign in the hallway that said, Caution! Wet floor! But for some unknown reason, the sign disappeared. And Mike, thinking that destiny had no power over him, paid for this delusion with a broken neck. Poor guy, I thought. That must have hurt. As Mike was being taken by paramedics to the hospital, Dean still couldn't calm down.
Did you see him collapse? Hilarious!
Everyone around me laughed quietly. I went straight to Dean. The guys, seeing me coming, quickly took off, leaving Dean alone. He tried to act all manly, but there was tension and nervousness in his voice. He was clearly uncomfortable standing next to me.
Ah, Miss Misfortune, he chuckled.
Do you think it's funny? Your friend broke his neck, and you're not even ashamed.
It wasn't my fault. I told him to expect trouble if you touched Kim, but he didn't believe me, and that was the result.
I wanted to give him a good slap in the face, but I decided to do something different.
Anyway, it's your fault. A victim of a science experiment.
Oh, yeah? Well then, watch out. Before Dean knew what was happening, I grabbed his arm. The guy froze and didn't move at first, and then, when he realized what had just happened, he let out a wild scream.
Ah! No, not again! Why did you do that? Now I'm screwed!
Nothing. Just don't cross the road and don't walk under any windows so nothing will fall on your head. And you better stay away from the dogs. Panic overtook Dean. He looked around in panic, waiting for something awful to happen. The Miss Misfortune effect worked differently every time. Sometimes it could take a while. Dean tried to figure out what to do, and he decided he had to run. Forgetting all about the classes, he ran out into the street and disappeared. I went back to my chemistry class. The curse. That's what I called my ability. The starting point of my misfortunes was my 6th birthday. I don't know what exactly happened then. Maybe it was the magnetic waves or the radioactive substances in the cake. But the following day, the first incident occurred. I hugged Dad as usual, and he, 5 minutes later, fell down the stairs, nearly breaking everything. Then the curse reached Mom. A hairdryer caught fire right in her hands and burned part of her hair. Thankfully, the flames didn't damage her skin. After a series of mutilations and troubles, My parents realized it wasn't an accident. It was me. It was hard to live without my mother's and father's touch, as if I was in an orphanage. The same story continued at school. I was more careful now, aware of the power within me. But it was impossible to avoid being touched forever. So after a few unpleasant incidents, I was nicknamed Miss Misfortune. Now everyone knew to stay away from me. I accepted my fate and the fact that I would die alone, like in a Charles Dickens novel, surrounded by spiders and cats. One good thing about all this was that no bully ever dared to hurt me. But on the other hand, I never had a boyfriend, because everyone knew how it could end. I didn't believe in miracles, right up until Liam showed up. His parents moved to our town, and he started going to the same school I went to. I don't know how to describe it. I guess I just fell in love. The very first day, as soon as he walked into class, Liam was looking around for an empty seat, and the teacher said he could sit next to me. I flared up and turned red as a tomato. My classmates started whispering, "Oh, poor kid gets to sit with Miss Misfortune. We won't see him again." It didn't bother me much. I tried not to look at Liam at the time and pretended I didn't care. They could have Johnny Depp sitting next to me. I couldn't care less. Liam sat down, turned toward me, and held out his hand.
"I'm Liam. What's your name?"
I didn't shake it, just looked at the guy sideways. "I'm Kim."
"Cool,"
he said, and turned back to the board. I rarely saw Liam, mostly in biology and math class, sometimes in the cafeteria. Each time I blushed and could barely get out a hi, Liam would smile broadly and ask me how I was doing. I thought he'd figure out what was wrong with me. Rumors about me were spreading all over the school. So, for instance, everyone immediately thought I was getting back at Dean. Remember when I touched him as payback for him deciding to make fun of Mike? Dean ran home from school and locked himself in his room. His parents tried to get in, but he wouldn't open the door. Just screamed that it was the end of him. Dean's parents freaked out and finally broke down the door. The kid was sitting in the corner with his chin on his knees, rocking back and forth, mumbling something quietly. Diagnosis? A nervous breakdown. Yes, sometimes my ability doesn't work literally, but Liam thought all this talk about me was just school gossip. I mean, people say odd things about others. I was glad he didn't believe what they were saying. But on the other hand, I was afraid it might end in tragedy. The situation became more complicated when Liam asked me out one day. I wanted to say no, but I just couldn't. He was the first guy who'd ever shown any interest in me. I should have told him the truth, that he was in danger, but I didn't say anything. In the evening, we went to the amusement park. I took every precaution I could. I wore a sweatshirt with long sleeves. I even put my mother's gloves on my hands. I looked ridiculous and weird.
"Are your hands cold?"
Liam asked me as soon as I left the house. "Yeah," I answered, trying to avoid the subject.
"My aunt is the same way. She wears gloves all the time."
I smiled stupidly and we walked to the park. Surprisingly, we had a great time. Riding the wheel, Liam won a teddy bear in a throwing contest and gave it to me. I struggled to carry the huge toy around with both hands. It kept slipping out of my hands. Without the gloves, which were noticeably too big for me, it would have been much more comfortable. I had to risk it. Liam saw that I was about to drop the bear. He decided to pick it up and carry it himself. And that's when he touched my hand. I dropped the bear and said, "I'm sorry, I ruined it." Tears came to my eyes.
"What's the matter?"
Liam was clueless. I didn't want to see anyone else get hurt because of me. So without another word, I ran away. Liam wanted to catch up with me, but I'd already disappeared into the crowd. The next day, I found out that he was taken away by an ambulance that night. Turns out he got a severe food poisoning. It was the third victim of my curse this month. Like Dean, I locked myself in my room and didn't come out for a long time. Maybe I should never be around people at all, I thought, trying to somehow figure myself out. But for my parents, there was only one excuse for not going to school: death. So even though I felt terrible, I had to go to class. I was always treated with suspicion, but this time the level of paranoia was off the charts. No one came within a few meters of me. Moreover, I noticed some tension even in the behavior of the teachers. I found out later that Mike and Dean were responsible for the boycott. Maybe it wasn't nice what I did to Dean, but I didn't want to hurt Mike. I guess that's how the herd effect works. No one wanted to figure anything out. I was, by default, the case of every misfortune that happened under the roof of that goddamn school. Dad tried to reassure me.
Honey, don't pay any attention to them.
Yes, my mother said. Children are so cruel. I knew they were cruel, but what am I supposed to do? They didn't have an answer to that question. As usual, I was left alone with my own curse. Sometimes it seemed to me that there were witches in our bloodline, and this was the punishment for terrorizing people in some small town. But I'm not a witch. I can't turn people into toads. I don't make magic potions. I'm just an ordinary girl who, for some unknown reason, has a very unusual ability. Liam was released from the hospital a week later. I was dreading seeing him. What would he say? Would he break up with me? Of course he would. There was not a single positive thought in my head at the time. How could he stay with me after that first date? What would have happened if we became a couple? What if he would kiss me? It's scary to even imagine. They might as well launch me into space to keep me away from all the people I could hurt. I ran into Liam in the hallway. He came up to me with a smile that never left his face and said,
"Hey, our first date didn't end very well. Maybe we could try again?"
I couldn't believe my ears. "And you're not afraid that one day a brick might fall on your head?"
"No, why should I be?"
Then, to my surprise, he took my hand and walked me to class. I expected the worst, but nothing happened to Liam that day, or the next day. My curse was gone, just like in the fairy tale of Beauty and the Beast. All I had to do was wait for a man who would truly love me. It took me a long time to get used to the fact that I could hug my mother. I could hold Liam's hand as I walked. True love really can do anything. What would you do if every time you touched someone, it brought them bad luck? Write your answers in the comments, like the video, and share it with your friends.
I couldn't believe my eyes. A hidden camera, right in my room. This couldn't be happening. Who installed it? And how did I not see it? Hi, my name's Susan, and you would never believe the story I'm about to tell you. I wouldn't believe it either, and to be honest, I still don't. I'll start by saying that ever since I was a kid, I've been considered weird. Yeah, my hobbies are not what you'd call ordinary. I used to watch videos about conspiracy theories. I believed in ghosts and the afterlife. I saw signs in everything. My friends and parents had gotten used to my peculiarities a long time ago. My mom and dad were more concerned that I was doing well in school and not hanging with shady people. My friends, on the other hand, appreciated my sense of humor and openness. And all was well until the night when I first noticed something strange. My friends and I were coming home from the movie theater, discussing the movie and making plans. Usually, we walk together to the same intersection, and then we go our separate ways home. We wished each other good night, exchanged jokes, and I turned onto my street. I was in a good mood. I walked past the houses and smiled to myself. But the smile disappeared from my face when I put my hand in my pocket to get my headphones. The pocket was empty. Oh, damn. I lost my headphones that my parents had given me for my birthday years ago. Maybe I dropped them on the way? With a sigh, I headed back to the intersection, hoping that my headphones were still lying on the pavement somewhere. As I turned to the corner, however, I instantly forgot about losing them. My friends, who seemed to have gone home at the same time as I did, were standing at the same intersection where we said goodbye, arguing about something. I froze and opened my mouth to call out to my friends. Suddenly, Owen saw me. "It's Susan!" he yelled. The guy's faces changed, and they started running away. I was still standing at the intersection, not really sure what was going on. I had no choice but to turn around and go home, giving up on my lost headphones. So, what was that all about? I asked this question in our shared chat room. "What do you mean?" Owen replied immediately. "Don't make a fool out of me. I saw you at the intersection. You ran away as soon as you saw me." The chat was silent for about 5 minutes. I saw the guys were typing something, but they never sent it. I could bet that outside of the chat, they were discussing how to respond. "You're making things up again, Susan," finally wrote Tori. Did you watch your weird reptiloid videos all night again? The others responded with smiley faces. Oh, really? Of course. The best defense is offense. And actually, reptiloids do exist. I'll see how these geniuses laugh when the lizards take over the planet. I decided not to respond and tossed the phone aside. And these are my best friends? I watched the notifications from the shared chat pop on my phone all evening, but I didn't respond. Surely, they were making wisecracks about my imagination. But the strange things didn't stop there. In the morning on my way down to breakfast, I heard my parents talking, and I almost fell down the stairs. They clearly weren't ready for me to get up so early.
What do we need to talk about?
Dad asked.
I never had time to read the message. I had a lot of work to do.
John, you're being irresponsible about your role. Mom answered. We need to say that Aunt Jacqueline is sick, and we need to visit her next week.
That doesn't sound believable, to be honest.
Well, what can I do? They told me to improvise, and I last acted in a school play about 20 years ago. What does it all mean? What kind of roles are they talking about? Meanwhile, my parents finished their strange conversation, and my mother shouted, Susan, breakfast is ready! I had to go downstairs and pretend I didn't hear anything. Of course, my appetite was out of the question. Thoughts swirled in my head, one more suspicious than the next. My friends obviously wanted to discuss something without me. This has never happened before. We always did everything together and had no secrets from each other. My parents were up to something too and made up some crazy story about Aunt Jacqueline. Just so you understand, my Aunt Jacqueline is a very rich and very unpleasant person. Even on her deathbed, she wouldn't want to have poor people like us hanging around her. So, the story my parents were going to tell me was a total fail. But that's not what surprised me. They said to improvise. Who's they? Ugh, all this weirdness is worthy of the Shane Dawson channel. I'd love to jump to a conclusion or two, but I had absolutely no clue as to what was going on. I wanted to keep a closer eye on my parents' behavior, and I decided not to communicate with my friends at all for now. I was so offended by what they said. I was so angry that they made me look like a freak. So I'll let them hang out without me until they admit what they did was wrong. And they can explain their bizarre behavior. Well, for the next few days, my parents didn't raise any suspicions, as if they knew I was watching them closely. We usually spent Friday nights together. We'd have a nice dinner, and then we'd sit in front of the TV and watch a movie. We have a rule in our family. We take turns choosing a movie. One week it was Mom, next week it was Dad, and the week after, it was my turn. If it wasn't for this rule, I would have only survived family movie nights for a couple of months. My parents would usually pick some old movie, and I would almost fall asleep in the middle of it. But when it was my turn, we always had a great time. Well, at least I did. This Friday, I was out of luck. My mother, as usual, chose some old sob story. But this time, I didn't manage to get any sleep. The movie was called The Truman Show, and it was about a man who one day discovers that his whole life was a reality show. There were cameras everywhere. Every event in his life was directed by a genius producer. And the people, even those closest to him, are just actors playing parts. I forgot how to breathe. The credits were rolling on the screen, and I still couldn't get my thoughts together. Susan, is everything okay? Mom put her hand on my shoulder. Yeah. I stared at her. They said to improvise. Mom's words played in my head like a broken record, and my friends discussing something behind my back, and then pretending it didn't happen. This couldn't be happening. Of course I couldn't sleep that night. Rolling from side to side, I tried to calm down and prove to myself that there was no reality show featuring me. It was a ridiculous idea. I could write a book with my wild imagination. I decided to bring my teddy bear Barney to bed. When I was a kid, he always helped me fall asleep quickly. But at some point, I decided that sleeping with a teddy bear at my age was stupid. Since then, Barney had settled on the shelf above my desk. I haven't picked him up for such a long time, and I wish I hadn't. Once I looked at his cute face, I screamed and dropped the toy on the floor. No way! As I took Barney into my hands again and looked closely, I felt my insides freeze. The hidden camera. It was installed in the right eye of my teddy bear. Who installed it? And what was it filming? Is my whole life a scripted show, like in that movie? My parents came running into the room. When my mom saw Barney in my arms, she gasped and stared at my dad. Why didn't you tell me the truth? I screamed.
What do you mean?
Dad looked at Mom disapprovingly. Didn't you tell her everything?
I should have, but I forgot. Susan, it's...
You forgot? I threw the bear to the floor. Forgot to tell me that my whole life is a stupid reality show! And you're complete strangers to me! How could you forget that?
Honey, Dad said softly, don't be so dramatic.
What's he talking about? What do you mean dramatic? Now I knew what that strange remark from Mom meant. My parents suggested we talk about this in the morning, over breakfast, without getting too emotional. They took Barney and cautiously left the room, clearly afraid of making me more angry. I was in shock. What was I supposed to do now? Where to go if everything around me isn't real? I grabbed my phone and opened the group chat room. My friends, for days now, have been trying in vain to work things out with me by sending me funny stickers and asking how I was doing and how long I was going to stay mad. Stay mad? I know everything! Despite the late hour, my message was immediately read by everyone in the chat room. Barry was the first to respond.
I knew it was a stupid idea.
Well, you should have thought of something different, Monica replied.
Susan, we're sorry we tricked you. We had no other choice.
Owen added a crying smiley face. I started typing, feeling tears well up in my eyes. What do you mean there was no other way out? My whole life is ruined. Now I don't know what's true and what's a lie. Who are my real friends and who are the actors who are paid to pretend to be my friends?
Sue?
You're obviously overreacting, Tori said. I felt like smashing the phone against the wall. Overreacting? My whole life is a freaking reality show, and I'm overreacting?
Susan, I don't really understand what you mean.
Barry stepped in again.
We just wanted to surprise you. I know those headphones were dear to you, but the ones we got you are mind-blowing.
What other headphones? I was totally confused about what was going on. And then my friends, interrupting each other, began to tell me their vision of what was happening. As it turned out, they'd long noticed that my headphones were barely alive. Barry, Owen, Tori, and Monica decided to chip in and buy me the coolest new headphones. And to make sure I would use them, they decided to steal my old headphones. And that's what my friends did that day at the movie theater.
I swear, Sue, you're gonna go crazy when you hear those basses,
raved Owen. Wait a minute. You wrote that you knew everything. What did you mean by that? I didn't know what to answer, Tori. I didn't want to look any weirder than I was. Okay, this part of the story seemed pretty believable. But what the hell was up with the camera in my room? That's what my parents told me at breakfast. We installed hidden cameras a long time ago, Mom explained. There's more than one in the house, one per room. But don't worry, we only turn them on when the whole family goes on vacation. I should have told you about it, but I forgot. I got carried away.
Actually, it's strange that you've only noticed them now, dear.
Daddy frowned.
How do you clean your room?
Again, the best defense is a good offense. But what about the one sentence that scarred me so much? Our friends invited us to a spa hotel next week. To relax, to have fun, Mom said. We were embarrassed that we weren't taking you with us, and we didn't want you to think we were tired of you. To be honest, I still didn't fully believe their explanations. Too many coincidences, don't you think? Or maybe I am living in a reality show. But then, how do I know for sure? Please, share your opinion in the comments. And if you like my story, subscribe to our channel and like this video.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.